It's a joy to be with you. You're going to have to jump on board with me this morning because my mind's going a thousand different directions, and we're going to settle out on Mother's Day, but I got a few things to do before we get there. And I'll start out with the way my thought process was affected in worship. James, when you shared the story of a vet giving his heart to the Lord, I remember the early days when I used to teach there. Remember the balloons up on the sidewall? He had his fair share of balloons popped. And there was people really mad at him because they weren't going to get their gift or whatever at the end. And the way it's touched me is this. My passage this morning is, love is patient and kind and slow to anger. James, do you ever wish you wouldn't be there some nights? Yeah. But love is way bigger than that. Love is patient and kind and slow to anger. James and Carla, it's about Mother's Day today. Carla, thanks for being a mom to those girls, and James being a dad to those guys. It means a lot. And it's a perfect example of a mother's heart. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The second way my mind is going, I stood right here yesterday and I was preaching a much different service. I was preaching a funeral for Dan Minnick as his casket lay right here. Today's subject is a lot different than that. It's about a giver of life. Not just physical birth, but a mom gives life in incredible ways, and in ways that I don't even know if we all understand. I know it's in ways that we take for granted many times. So as I was thinking this morning, I was up early and studying for this morning, and I started daydreaming a little bit. And I started thinking about my mom, and my mind was drawn to a place in our house where I used to live growing up. And this place was about 20 feet long. It was punched out about 5 feet out in the garage, if you can picture this with me. I was going to have a picture. I was searching desperately for a picture of it, but I couldn't find it. But it's very etched in my mind. So I think I can describe it to you. So this room was pushed into our garage. There was a big, long counter the whole length. At this end was Mom's serger. At this end was her regular sewing machine. And there was a shelf up above. And if you pulled the drapes back, there was just bundles and bundles and of material. And this was Mom's sewing room. But you didn't really have to call it a sewing room. It was Mom's headquarters. Because right behind her was a hallway. The hallway led to Dad's office. So she was readily available if Dad had a question. Back behind her, in a little doorway that went outside, was a washer and dryer where she always washed clothes. You took two more steps this way, and it was the kitchen. If you took one step, it was the stairs down the basement. Now, this room was very strategically placed. In this little push-out, there was a window that she could see out through the garage windows. Now, I don't know why that window led to the basketball court outside. It wasn't really a window. It was more like a telescope. Because whatever was happening out in the basketball court, she always seemed to get the right one who had caused the issue in the first place. Or down the steps, as we were playing hockey downstairs, I could never figure out how she always picked out the right one to discipline when there was a fracas downstairs. But in the kitchen, a few steps away was where Mom cooked. But it wasn't just the food that I remember. It was the times that we spent gathered around a dinner table after a hard day of work. And that dinner conversation went many different directions. It sometimes centered around ball, sometimes around pigs, sometimes around life in general. School, definitely. But Mom was always there. And for that, I will forever be grateful. But yeah, this morning as I was thinking about that, it was Mom's headquarters. And I don't know, I'm sure it was designed strategically, but Moms just sort of have that strategic way about them. And I was the recipient of a great mother and her great love. You know, a mother's love is an incredible thing. I'm blessed to have a mom here this morning who has given me a mother's love and shaped my childhood years to allow me to be who I am. You know, on Mother's Day, I always struggle between my mom and my wife, who's also a very good mother. And so we're going to go both ways in this sermon. That's where my experience is coming from. A mother's love is powerful. I spent a lot of time studying, you know, just the scientific effects of a mother's love. I don't even think we can comprehend how significant a mother's love is in a child's development. It's powerful. It shapes culture, both within the home and in society, because it shapes individuals one person at a time. You know, I don't want to make any mother feel guilty, because my mom, there was times where she was frustrated with a little boy, and there's always a tension there, isn't there? I mean, mothering would be really easy if the little munchkins would just behave themselves. And this tension was pretty evident to me. I came across a reading, and I don't know if it's the right thing to read in front of during a sermon, but I was amused by it, so I'm going to share it. It's things that moms teach us. Mothers teach us about maturity. They say things like, eat your vegetables or you never grow up. Mothers teach us about logic. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. Mothers teach us about religion. You better pray. That comes out of the carpet. Mothers teach us about contradictions. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Mothers teach us about contortionism. Well, you look at the dirt on the back of your neck. Mothers teach us about perseverance. You're going to sit here until you eat every piece of that broccoli. Mothers teach us about genetics. You're just like your father. Mothers teach us about the weather. It looks like a tornado went through your room. Mothers teach us about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case of you're in an accident. And the last one I have here, mothers teach us about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. I thought that was humorous because that's the tension that goes on with a mom. So my text this morning is found in 1 Corinthians 13. And this is going to test you, moms, but I want you to know that there's a tension there. And I think I understand to a degree, although I'm not a mother. 1 Corinthians 13, I want you to turn to that. Before I read that, I just want you to think on the flip side of some other things that moms moms teach us. They teach us to read. They teach us to love. They teach us to develop a conscience. Do you ever think how much a mom makes you develop your conscience? How many life lessons are taught from 0 to 5 before they ever get to school and how their conscience is formed? They teach us to learn. They teach us to discover. They teach us to feel secure. And they comfort us when life is pretty rough. So let's read 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Let me paraphrase those first three verses for you. You know, ladies, you can read every book on being a good mother. You can watch every DVD series. But if you don't have love, it's like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. For I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So I'd like to start at verse 4. And I want to take apart this passage. You know, this passage is really versatile. I've preached this passage at a wedding. You could preach it for Father's Day. You could preach it in evangelism. You could preach it for a mother. Today we're going to focus on how this applies to a mother. Love is patient. Ladies, I don't know how you apply this phrase, love is patient. How do you be patient as a mom? You know, you cook for an hour and a half, and in 5 minutes it's gone. You clean a house in an afternoon, and 10 minutes later, it can be messy again. You know, I cleaned the house, and this is a rare occasion, but I did clean the house. And the kids came home, and they're not little kids. The kids came home, and all of a sudden there was stuff scattered. They came in, they put their shoes on the floor, and there was blankets on the floor. And I'm like, guys, seriously. Gave me a little window. Or how can you be patient, mom, when your name is called 100 times in one day and you've been asked the same question about 67 times? Love is patient. That's hard work for a mom. Because us guys at work, when we ask somebody to do something for us, it gets done. When we're meeting with a client, we expect them to react in a way that actually has reason to it. Not like some of the things you experience during a day's time. Love is patient. I don't think this looks perfect all the time. It can't. Because of those aforementioned munchkins I was talking about. You can't be patient all the time. But I want to challenge you. You know, when you react in an impatient way, what follows? It's usually chaos. When you react with patience and you pull that child aside and you deal with that child on a one-on-one and you have time and you have patience with that child, oftentimes the end result is much different. Love is kind. And this is where this Sunday school class comes in. Now, I was talking to a Sunday school class about ways that your mother is kind. So now's your time to share. And if you could just stand up when you talk and say it loud, we're not going to get a mic to you, but I want you to share how your mom is kind to you. So go for it. Let's start right here. Stand up.
Loves me.
That's love is kind. That's awesome. All right, who else? Where are we at? Where's Matt? Back here. No, that's you. She does the dishes for you. You know, soon you can be doing the dishes, so that'll be good. And you can be kind to her. All right, do you have one? She does your laundry. How about you? She makes your food. There's a laundry list. There's a couple more yet. I don't want to miss anybody. Where are we at? In the back there, can you name one? She gives you gifts. That's a kind thing. Say again. So we see many times a mom is kind. But mom, your acts of kindness, they get noticed once a year at Mother's Day. That's what's hard. You know, children, whether you're youth, whether you're adults, whether you're little, it's important to recognize your mom's kindness. Love is kind. Ephesians 4:32 says this, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." I often have to wonder what kindness looks like. Moms, you're so many times that you're kind. And I know from my experience as a child growing up, there were times when she was looking at her telescope and I had just gotten beaten by my brother. And the only reason I got beat, let's be clear about this, was that he was calling his own fouls, all right? But in calling his own fouls, it created a fight. And I lost that too. And I went in, and I'm crying, and my mom is there, and she's wiping a tear from my eye. There was times when mom would come and sit on my bed and she would read a bedtime story to me. That's kindness. You know, she's probably just worked 14 hours, but she came to my bedside and prayed with and read a story with me. There's also times out on that basketball court where I fell. And I scraped my knee. And I came in and there's blood rolling down my knee. And mom takes me, I forgot about another segment of her headquarters. There was a bathroom right there too with a medicine cabinet. And she'd take me in there and she bandaged my knee. every day when I went to school, off of the headquarters in the kitchen, I could pick up my lunch, and I never had to worry if there was something in it. It was just there, ready to go. I didn't even see the stuff. She had done that long before I got up. Or how about the times Mom was really kind with you and you couldn't sleep and she just came and laid beside you and laid there till you went to sleep? That's a mother's kindness. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. I was trying to think how this applies to a mother. You know, sometimes we I was going to go down the parent road because it applies to me too. But sometimes, moms, you think that you don't have what it takes to be a good mom. Or you see on Facebook this perfect family who has just climbed to the top of a mountain and there's smiles on their face and it looks like they got it all together. And you envy that life. Or you envy somebody else's family who it really looks like they got it together. I would encourage you to get rid of the culture of envy in your heart, and that you would realize that there's a culture right in your home that you can cultivate and make it your own. You see, my family is much different than most of your families. Maybe Mark, your family was like mine, because in the evening we played ball. We didn't go away very much. Played a lot of wiffle ball. In the wintertime, we played hockey downstairs. That was pretty much what we did, ball and hockey and basketball. But that was what we did. And it was a very competitive family. But that culture that we created as a family could be very different from somebody else in this congregation, and that's okay. But work on developing your culture, not trying to get to where somebody else is in their life. So love does not envy. Love is not proud. A child should never feel as if they need to earn a mother's love. And I think this comes into pride a little bit. You know, when a child needs or tries to earn a mother's love, it's sort of like us trying to earn God's favor. But what it does when we try to earn a mother's love, it leaves a big vacuum in our life. Because a mother's love is just there. It's supposed to be. It's not God's love, but it's got to be the next closest thing. It's just there. It's there for us to take. The other thing I want to mention with pride, maybe some of you adults in the room still have a tough time relating to your mom. Or maybe it's a teenager that's has trouble relating to their mom. I want to challenge you. Love should not be proud to prevent you from restoring that relationship. Oh, but you say, Pastor, you don't understand my situation. Maybe I don't. But love is not proud and is willing to humble yourself and to go restore that relationship. I was looking over my wife's shoulder at Facebook, which I don't have, last night. And I saw one of the coolest videos I've seen in a long time. The mom had to be about 90, and she suffered from Alzheimer's. And the person there was just describing how he doesn't really get to connect with his mother too much anymore because she doesn't recognize him. But when she gives when he gives her mom a guitar, she is able to play her guitar and sing. And they're there in the room singing a hymn, and she's there just strumming away, and she's singing the song. And she said, when she sings, I have her again. And this embracing relationship with her mother, it doesn't end when we get married. It should embrace, we should be embracing our mother for a lifetime, even when it doesn't seem like they're there anymore. I want you to think about something for a little bit. There was a time in your life where you weren't able to give a lot to your mother either. Did you ever think about that? All you did was just you took for your mom. You took and you took and you took and you took. You didn't realize you were doing it, but that's just the way you had to survive. Sometimes we do the end of life stuff a little wrong. Lancaster County here, retirement homes are growing at a rapid rate. Sort of grieves my heart, because your mom did a lot for you over your years, and I think we should be very intentional about how we do life with our aging parents. The next thing here is, love is not rude. I own a candy stand. I get to see some tremendous parenting and then some not so tremendous parenting. Recently, I had somebody come in and this kid's just acting up and just ballistic. And the mom looks at me and says, "Hey, if you don't behave, he's going to call the police." You know, I had to think about, as that kid gets older and she continues to try to embarrass him in public to get the desired result, what that's going to look like 5 years down the road. It's not going to be pretty. As a mom, try not to be rude to your kids in public. Try not to be rude to them in private either. But carry on the conversation that you need to carry on. Sometimes you just got to take the time to deal with that situation. Love protects. Sometimes that protection comes in the form of discipline. Next one is, love is not easily angered. And I want to focus on a verse again in Ephesians chapter 4. I quoted verse 32 to you. And it was a beautiful, beautiful verse. And be ye kind one to another. The one right before it is a much more difficult verse. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. When our kids aren't behaving, it's pretty easy to become angry and bitter and have all kinds of confusion going on. And I think this verse speaks directly into what I'm trying to say here. As moms, I know it's tough. I've seen it. I mean, it's just unbelievable what they can come up with sometimes. But I think we need to be without anger or strive for that, because anger creates more anger and bitterness creates more bitterness. When relationships are hard and bitterness is there, it's hard to watch. When you see a son or a daughter who's just incredibly bitter at their mom or their dad, it's hard to see. it's not a pretty sight. And it becomes so hardened that forgiveness is almost out of the question. Love does not keep record of wrongs, and this is forgiveness. I think it's the most important thing on this list. A good place to start is to look at areas that may be still affected by our relationship with our mother. You know, oftentimes we carry the generational sin or the generational thing that your mother did, the way she raised you, whether good or bad, and we use it with our children. Laura Ingalls Wilder is not really a theologian. She is a Little House on the Prairie fame. Stated that if there is an attitude in your children toward yourself that you wish were different, search your own heart and learn if your ways toward your mother could be improved. I thought that was an interesting statement. I'm going to read it again. If there is an attitude in your children toward yourself that you wish were different, search your own heart and learn if your ways toward your mother could be improved. We can be deeply affected by our relationship with our mothers. One of the most powerful gifts we can give our children is emotional health. And I think in many areas, forgiveness establishes emotional health. Not all, but a lot of times it does. Love does not delight in evil. I am just amazed when I see people coming from a Christian home, how those kids are just different because they don't delight in evil. They teach truth. They teach the ways of God. Love rejoices in the truth. I want you to stand firm in what is truth. Teach your children truth. We need it more than ever. There's so many competing voices for our kids anymore. We need to continue to rejoice in the truth. Talks about love protects. You know, a mother hen illustration isn't far off. If you ever saw a mother hen with chicks and there's danger, a hawk screams or something like that, those chicks will come running and they'll be flying underneath the chicken and she's all puffed up and she's real defensive. And you don't see a thing for a little bit. And after a bit, a little head pops out. They're looking to see the danger. But a mom protects. I just want to challenge you moms, know what's stressing your children. If your child comes home and just doesn't seem like the same person, start digging. Start finding out what's going on. Another way to protect is discipline. When it's done well, it is protection. If my child would be going toward the hot stove and I would hit his or her hand, I'm protecting. That's really what discipline does. I think another thing discipline does, it gives the child a chance to relieve their guilty conscience. When we just smooth it over, we say everything's okay, they're still guilty. But when we deal with it and discipline it, they're able to ask for forgiveness and get rid of that guilty conscience. Also want to challenge you, moms, more than ever, be aware of what's stealing your child's affection. We got a lot of electronic gadgets. And I work in a school, and I'm starting to see profound effects of kids that are addicted to Wi-Fi and the internet. Kids that can't concentrate, kids that can't sit in a room. Just be careful what you put in front of your kids. You know, the ultimate babysitter, right, is to sit down and watch a movie, right? Be careful about that. Because it's a substitute for what God wants you to do, to have that relationship. Technology is a relationship stealer. You can spend 3 or 4 hours on the internet, Facebook or whatever, but you struggle to find 15 minutes to play a game with your kids. Love always trusts, even when it's difficult. So on the way here, my mind was going in many different directions, maybe because of this too. Kaylin turned 16 last Monday. She got a chance to drive to church. She did pretty well, but it was tough to trust. You see, I'd much rather be on the left side of the car than in the passenger seat. And the floorboards aren't thick enough sometimes for what I really want to do. Love always trusts. And I'm going to make this illustration about me instead of you. So when something didn't go quite right, my tendency was to yell. But that's not right. If I can say the same thing, but I don't have to make her more tense as she's driving. Love always trusts. And I've seen moms trust their kids incredibly much. And I've seen kids that have given their parents or mom all they can handle. But love always trusts. Love always hopes. You know, when Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome came to the tomb, and they wanted to open, or they wanted to anoint Jesus' body. Did they have hope? I think they had to. I mean, how can they go? They know the tomb is sealed, but yet they wanted to anoint Jesus' body. Love always hopes, and love never fails. You cannot underestimate the value of a loving home and the power of a mother's love. As you can see, moms, my hat is off this morning. Off to you guys. You do a tremendous job. As I see this congregation, the amount of kids here, I'm truly blessed by your mother's love. As I conclude this message, I just want to say the profession of motherhood is all about influence. But influence takes intentionality. In order to be a good mom, you got to be intentional about what you're doing. You got to be intentional about lots of things: discipline, recreation, homework, lunches, whatever that is, intentionality. The very last verse says, now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I'm going to switch this sermon on the men at this point. Do you understand how difficult it is to be a mom? And I'll answer that question for you. No, you do not. The greatest of these is, I'm sorry, three things remain: faith, hope, and love. Guys, are you carrying the spiritual leadership in your home? Are you making your wife whole enough so that she can be a mom? Are you giving your wife hope that she's not in this alone? It's important to her that she knows that she's not in it alone. And love. Can you love her so that she can feel emotionally healthy and in turn be free to nurture the culture of your family? This calling to motherhood is not easy, but this passage about love, it is a reliable guide to being a mother of influence in the lives of the next generation. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for moms. They are truly a blessing. And Lord, I know there's times in my life where I wasn't a good child and I made my mom's life difficult. And I know there's times also where I've felt as a dad and as a husband. And Lord, I pray that each man in this room would understand that we need to show our faith to our wives. We need to show them hope that they're not in it alone. We need to show them love so that they can do their mothering thing to the best of their abilities. Pray this in your name. Amen.